Thanks be to the Lord to be gathered in the house of worship, to worship our great Savior, our great King, the one who has redeemed us. We praise his name and we thank him that he has died for sinners like us. We recognize that we have broken God's law. We're not perfect. And yet our heart's desire is to be in union with that perfect Savior. And the only way that we could do that is to have our sins atoned for and covered by that blood of the Lamb and all of those Old Testament sacrifices foreshadowing the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. He died to take our place. He was our substitute, the perfect one, the Holy One. And we rejoice when we can gather together in his presence to hear of what he has done. And there is life in him, not just to be reconciled to God, but to have life with God and to begin now in this life to learn what that is. And as he works in us, he strengthens us. And he strengthens our faith. And I had preached a message in the morning service earlier that was about strengthening faith and had said that I would break this into two parts. And this is part two of Faith Strengthened. And we were in Luke chapter 8. And we looked at the woman with the flow of blood or menorrhagia, that abnormally prolonged menstrual cycle for any number of reasons, but we drew out of that some things that the Lord was teaching her and teaching us as disciples of the Lord and what's important for us to lay hold of by way of application in the chapter. You know, we read the Word of God and we could read it as stories. They are historical. They are true. We can stay at the level of Sunday school in the sense of very, very basic, simple truths. But we need to learn as the people of God to dive deeper into it and seek by His Spirit to apply these great principles to our own lives. And we looked at her life and we found that she overcame a pressing crowd as she pushed through to touch the hem of Jesus' garment by faith in Him, believing He was the great healer and the Holy One. We saw that an urgent cry from others in their need didn't prevent her. She just needed to touch that hem. We saw that her exhausting condition didn't prevent her from reaching out to Jesus. And then how the Lord, in mercy and compassion for her, he drew her out into public confession. You know, and we have to be drawn out sometimes. It's not good for us to be secret disciples. Even somebody like Nicodemus, who began as a secret disciple, was drawn out to publicly identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, he went with Joseph of Arimathea to take the body of Jesus down from the cross. So the Lord here with this woman is drawing her out into public confession and then also establishing that faith that she exhibited by reaching out to him. So we're going to pick up the latter portion of this chapter, Luke chapter 8. And the verses start at 49, but let me go back for a moment. Let's go to 40 through 42, and then we'll hop over to 49. Beginning at verse 40. So it was when Jesus returned, that is, returned from the other side opposite Galilee, that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. Now let's hop over to verse 49. We know what's happened with the woman who interrupted that journey to Jairus' house. And he speaks good words to the woman. And as he is speaking to the woman and confirming her faith, in verse 49, While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. Don't bother him. Don't harass him." That's the idea behind this word, trouble. Don't trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat, and her parents were astonished. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. So here is this beautiful story that is connected with the woman who has the flow of blood for 12 years. And this man with the dying daughter teaches us that we must continue to strive against discouraging circumstances in our lives and depressing critics who seek to destroy our faith in Jesus. Remember, I had mentioned before in the first service that we are to strive, we're to push against, we're to struggle to enter in, Jesus says, through the narrow gate. It's hard work. It takes effort. He says, "I say to you, many will seek to enter and will not be able." So we need to have a strong faith. And Jairus teaches us how to strive against these discouraging circumstances. And later here, these depressing critics. So four things in this message here, very briefly, that I want to draw your attention to. What did Jairus learn? The first thing is this, that delay helped strengthen his faith in Christ. Providential delay helped strengthen his faith in Christ. Now, that seems counterintuitive. I mean, we're all for immediate results. We want things to happen now. We're not so much for delay. And his need was urgent. His daughter was at the point of death, it says in two of the Gospels. And Matthew likes to shorten things and speak briefly about them. So he abbreviates it and begins with the news that she's dead. She's now dead. It's not hard for us to understand that these fuller accounts in Luke's account or in Mark's account give us more detail. We know that when people come to a particular scene and they witness it, that you can take witness statements down as a police officer and get three different statements, three different viewpoints. They all have similar details, but they might be different in certain points. And so this is the same thing with the gospel accounts here. Matthew gets right to the point with Jairus' daughter's death being announced. And it is not impossible for us to believe that Jairus made requests twice to the Lord. Once at the point of death, and then even after he got hit with the news, to say once more, "Come, come, Lord. She's now dead, but if you come, she'll be healed and alive again." So all of these things are important for us to see. There's no contradiction of the Holy Spirit in moving these men to write what they have done. And so we see that this is a delay, that it happened because of the woman. It was an urgent thing. Come to my house. Heal my daughter. And he starts out to go with his disciples and is interrupted by the woman in her need. But this is an event that is providential in nature because God did it. God stopped going to Jairus' house, the Lord Jesus going to his house, in order to deal with someone else. What Jairus needed was patience. What Jairus needed was endurance in his faith. Remember, this is about strengthening faith. What is missing in Jairus' faith that he needs in that moment to be able to deal with even worse news? Well, he needs patience. Patience in the Lord, resting in the Lord. And he needs endurance. The Word of God encourages us to wait on him. Psalm 27, the psalmist said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see goodness, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's the psalmist. The psalmist saying, I would have been scuttled unless I saw goodness in the land that I live in. But I was told to wait, and I'm waiting on the Lord. So I, as a psalmist, am telling you, wait on the Lord. He will strengthen your heart. Be of good courage. And of course, all of us know that set of verses in Isaiah chapter 40, where it says that God gives power to the weak, and to those who have no strength, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So this delay is exactly on God's timing. It's on his schedule. They were going to Jairus' house, and they were stopped because Jairus needed to learn patience and endurance. But you see, there's another thing in the delay that Jairus has to deal with, and it's something similar that we have to deal with ourselves. He had to deal with the issue of the Lord tending to another's need before us. Another who needed him first. And the Lord orders who is first. The reason being is that we all have this tendency to grow bitter when somebody gets the attention before us. It's a sinful thing for us to be bitter that someone else is being cared for by the Lord. We ought not to be there, bitter and full of resentment, jealous. Those things are sinful things that we cannot have in our lives as Christians. And so Jairus had to deal with the issue that the Lord was going to heal this woman before his daughter, dying in bed, was tended to by the Lord. And so he had to deal with bitterness and resentment and jealousy that could overwhelm him and destroy his faith. And I am telling you, brothers and sisters, that bitterness and resentment, jealousy in the church will destroy your faith, will destroy the church if we do not fight against it. That's what we learn here from Jairus. We need to learn how to wait on the Lord, to have patience, to endure to the end, but also to fight against those sinful tendencies within us, to be bitter because he's doing wonderful things with that person, but why isn't he doing it with me? And the focus is on me. We ought to rejoice every time someone is cared for in such a wonderful way in the body of Christ. We ought to be leaping for joy with them. You know, as Peter and John were in the temple courts and the lame man, he was healed. And what does the scripture say? He leapt for joy. You know, Peter and John should have been leaping too, right? And in a sense, they were in their hearts. We ought to be doing that ourselves when we see things like that in the body. So providential delay helped strengthen his faith because he's going through this gauntlet. I remember when I was in some football drills, I hated going through the gauntlet. Now, the gauntlet was where all of these big guys with pads would stand on the side, and you had the football tucked in, and you would run right down the middle of them, and they would whack you and try to knock you over and keep you from hitting the end, which was the finish line, the goal line. And there were a lot of guys that were knocked down, myself included. And then when you were knocked down, they'd all pile on, right? I hated the gauntlet, but it was necessary. It helped us overcome getting hit one by one, over and over, and made us a little bit tougher. And the other thing I hated about football practice was we had this exercise where we had to lift our legs up about, you know, a foot and a half off of the ground, and then the coach would make you hold it there 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. You know, you're holding it. Oh, it's supposed to make your core strong so that you'd have a strong core. And oh, we hated those. Hated those leg lifts and holding them there in place. But you know, see, that was a delay that was good for us. The holding on to that was good for us. Holding on to Jesus is good for us, just like leg lifts. They're spiritual leg lifts. Running the gauntlet is good for us because the enemies will assault us. And we need to be able to stand up against the enemies. Even when they pile up on us, we need to be able to rise up from that and still be strong and continue on. All of these things Jairus was learning from the delay, the providential delay. Let's consider the second thing, though, that we can learn from this. What else did he learn in this episode? He learned that the news of his daughter's death actually strengthened his faith. Now, it was meant to destroy him. Just like when Satan destroyed Job's family. You remember that? They were all eating together, and he was so concerned. Job was concerned for his family. He offered up sacrifices for his family, but he gets news that his family is destroyed. And it was meant to crush him. It was like a sledgehammer hitting you. This news comes to him at the worst possible time. Jesus is still dealing with this woman here, giving her good news, and he gets bad news, the worst news. But this news is used to strengthen his faith. Why? Because I want you to see again what happens immediately upon this word to Jairus that his daughter is dead. Look at verse 50. Here's hope there. Look at it. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." See, the devil took a swipe there at Jairus. He just was ready to lay him low. And the Lord comes out swinging with both edges of the sword. You know, the first edge, don't be afraid. Have no fear. And then the swing back against the devil. Only believe. What was the devil trying to do to Jairus? Cause him to doubt. Cause him to give up. Cause him to go into the abyss of unbelief. And Jesus was there defending him, giving him comforting words. Brothers and sisters, we need comfort like that when we have news that overwhelms us. We know that the devil is trying to lay us low or going through the gauntlet, and he's hitting us over and over again. It's like this sledgehammer, and we feel like we've got to do something. We've got to get up and do something. Jairus is there in the moment. It's like, I've got to do something. What can I do? How can I get the Lord's attention? He needs to be there. And Jesus says, you don't need to do. Only believe. Only believe. Jesus is the doer. And we need to rest in him. So Jesus encourages Jairus. Death is impossible for us to overcome. And our greatest comfort in all of our trials in life, when we are assaulted by doubts and fears, the devil is attacking us, and we run risk of sinning against the Lord because of our unbelief. And the Lord's word comes to mind and encourages us. A brother says a word to us. A sister says something that encourages us, that is right from the Word. Someone is praying for us. Someone is leading us to the Lord. Someone is leading us to His Word. And it's direct interaction with the Lord and His Word that brings us comfort in our deep, deep trials. You laying hold of that? You see, I want this Word to be so in me that it's like it's rearranged all of my DNA sequence to be the very Word of God itself. I want to match it in every way. And you ought to desire those things too, so that you can be conformed to the living Word, the Word of God, Jesus Christ. So the news of his daughter's death helped to strengthen his faith. Providential delay helped strengthen his faith. I want you to take a look at verses 51 through 53. The third thing we see here, third thing that Jairus learned in this event, is that he needed determination after that command to only believe. Determination to overcome the mockers. The mockers there in his own home. Notice in 51, when Jesus came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She's not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. He needed to run through that gauntlet again one more time. He needed to be determined within himself, make a conscious choice in himself that he was going to hear the word of the Lord, only believe, don't be afraid, and walk in it to overcome those mockers in his own family and among his friends who didn't believe the word of Christ. And we have had to endure things like that in our own life, where our family doesn't believe, where our friends don't believe. Co-workers who make fun of our Christianity. And they hate our Christ, the Christ who saved us, the one who died for us. And so there's determination to overcome the mockers. That was the final assault on his faith here in this event. And he determined to do so. He went in with the Lord, with his wife and the three apostles appointed, Peter, James, and John, and they witnessed an astonishing miracle at the hand of the Lord. He went on in faith with the Lord. He didn't throw in his hat with all of those who said, you know, it's impossible. You know, you're right. She's dead. What more can the Lord do now? He didn't. He walked in faith into that room with the Lord Jesus, and he witnessed a wonderful miracle of Jesus' power and compassion and love. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to stand up against the culture of the day that attacks our Lord, that attacks our faith, and stand firm in that faith against all odds, knowing that He is the truth and His word is powerful and it will come to pass just as He has called it? He's coming one day, and we know He's coming, and when He comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those of us alive at that time will be raised together with Him. His word will be seen by all. So we too must have a determination to push through all of the stormy chaos of unbelief in the world, in our lives, at work, and at home, and elsewhere, to enter into God's haven or harbor of rest, to rest in Him. So the determination to overcome mockers helped strengthen his faith. The news of his daughter's death helped strengthen his faith. And then providential delay helped strengthen his faith in Christ. And then we see in the latter verses here a demonstration of the resurrection from the dead helped strengthen his faith. He went in, and Jesus called the little girl, taking her by the hand. Little girl, arise, and her spirit arose, or her spirit returned, and she arose. She arose immediately. She got up. It was an immediate miracle. Christ's word is powerful. And then we see that the command to give her something to eat was living proof that she was not a spirit. This was not some kind of dream or illusion. It was reality. Jesus commanding that she be given something to eat. Now here's the point in this last thing that we learn here. Demonstration of resurrection from the dead helps strengthen his faith. We have yet to see a physical resurrection in our life. It would be a wonderful thing to witness. It would astonish us. But what we have seen is the power of Christ go forth and raise people spiritually from the dead. We've seen the effects of that. We've seen people go from an ungodly life and a hatred for the things of God and of Christ to this new life. And all they can talk about is Jesus. And they're so in love with Jesus, and they love the Word of God, and they start going to church, and they're with God's people, and the relatives notice. I can remember when Nettie and I were going to services, all the services on Sunday. While we were in the military, we went to all of the services to the church across the street from the base. And my mother said to Nydia, "Are you guys in a cult or something?" Because she thought it was strange that somebody would want to go to church morning and evening. And then we said, well, you know, Jeff's going out and he's with the pastor through the week. You know, there's a couple of times that he meets with the pastor through. You guys are for sure in a cult. It was such a strange thing, a strange concept. But you know, when you love the Lord, you want to be with God's people, and you are hungry for the Word. You're hungry for Christ. And so we have all seen the effects of spiritual resurrection, and it strengthens our faith. And more than that, I would say to you that we've all felt it as born-again believers. We've felt that spiritual resurrection by coming to faith in the Lord. If you truly belong to Him, if you have been regenerated by the very Spirit of God and that Word of God so that you reach out to Jesus in faith and lay hold of Him, and you want nothing but Him, and you're ready to turn away from everything, to repent of the world and its lifestyle just to receive Jesus, well, that's God's work. That's Jesus doing that in you. That's Christ's work. And it's a glorious thing, and you have experienced it if you are a born-again believer. So those spiritual resurrections, they give us hope, great hope. Because what do we also believe in? We also believe that He will raise our bodies out of the dust. He'll give us a new body that's like His, and we will be with Him forevermore. One day we will see physical resurrections. But I'm telling you that right now we see resurrections all the time in the church when people come to faith in Jesus Christ, or when you're out there witnessing to your family or your neighbor, and at the table of a Bible study, they come to faith in Jesus Christ. You see that, you know that, and it strengthens you. It strengthens your faith. So these are the things that we learn from Jairus. What a Savior that we have. This event that ties together two wonderful stories of things that we need ourselves so that we can cling to Christ with all of our might. And we can run the gauntlet and be able to get up from all of the knocks of life, all those hard knocks of life. Do you trust in Him? Do you believe in the One that can heal you from your sickness that is leading you to death, eternal death? Well, He's the Savior from eternal death. Turn to Him and trust Him. Believe in Him. Cling to Him. And for those of you who have, rejoice in Him. Cling to Him tighter. Let Him say to you, outside of the tomb where Mary was clinging to His feet. He said, I've got work to do. I've not yet ascended to the Father. She just couldn't let go of Jesus. I'm so delighted to be here with you. We need to have that same kind of spirit. To delight in Jesus all the days of our lives. So think on that, brothers and sisters. Think about how much the Lord has done for us. And trust in Him. Only Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for Your precious Word. And oh, how we want, with every fiber of our being, Lord, we want folks to come to faith in Christ and lay hold of Him and never let go. Oh, Lord, You can make it so. You can make Your Word powerful and effective. We pray that there would be many who would be the recipients of that first resurrection, that resurrection out of their sins and trespasses and into life forevermore through Jesus. And we acknowledge, O Lord, that for those of us who have believed and are clinging, we're so grateful that You have saved us from our sins and You're continuing to warn us away from that type of living, to live a life of holiness and purity before You until He comes. May we be a people that are ready when the clouds break open and He descends on the glory cloud of heaven. May we be eager, O Lord, when that call goes out and all of the elect are gathered into His presence in the clouds, and we shall be with Him forevermore. Oh God, give us a great love for our Lord Jesus Christ and for his word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.